Welcome to the Crimson Circle Show. Here we are, ready and waiting for Jeffrey Hoppe to begin channeling Adamus Saint-Germain, maybe. Are you ready? Thank you. We have a live audience here at the studio in Louisville, Colorado. Welcome to those of you that are listening in. We know that there are listeners from all over the world. If you want to watch, you can actually go to crimsoncircle.com and you will be able to see this broadcast live, or you can review it later. You can listen at the crimsoncircle.com live also or later. And those of you tuning in from BTR, welcome. So, with that, this is the Kasama series, and I think we're all just about ready for Adamus, if that's who's coming in. You know, the minute I count on that, something else shows up. But this feels maybe like it's Adamus Day. But Adamus is chewing gum. That doesn't seem very Adamus-y. So let's see where this is going to take us. So with that, you can feel as the energies move through the room. You can feel the energies of all those listening in and watching. And with that, I invite each of us to take the deep and conscious breath, the breath of the soul, the body, and the mind. I invite each of us to breathe deeply with feeling and allowing, to breathe with trust, to breathe, giving each of us permission to truly allow this experience to flow. Feel as the energies move. Breathe with all your senses. And as we breathe, the music will play. And I invite you to keep breathing deeply and to allow your senses to open and expand. Breathe.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all. My acres of a land, by the tree. It may be hard for you to stop and believe, but for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My many artifacts, the list goes on. If you just say the words, I'll up and run. Oh, to you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Oh, to you, ooh, ooh, I'd leave it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My friends and family, they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose it all. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. Baby, if you owe me, then all of this will go away. My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest. Golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo, you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all, ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
I am that I am. Adamus of Sovereign Domain. Let's take a deep breath, dear Shambra. Remember that this is the most special, special time for you. I hear your talk of how difficult it is, the thoughts and the emotions, what's going through your body, everything being turned upside down, but this is the most special of times. You'll only do this once. This transformation from human into the divine self, into the realization of the I am, just once. Certainly, you can go back and revisit it later, going through time and space, but it won't be like what you're experiencing right now. Painful, emotional, challenging, yes. Transformational, beautiful, passionate, yes. Don't be in such a hurry to get out of this, what you consider mess, difficulty, challenge. Stop for a moment, if you would, right now, to consider what you're going through, no matter what your health or relationship status is. No matter what your finances are, no matter if you are exhausted to the bone, stop for a moment. Look what you're doing. Yeah, you. Look what you're doing. What you're experiencing. And the beautiful thing is, and I can tell you this from this stage, and I know it's difficult for you to realize, the beautiful thing is you cannot go wrong in it. You cannot go wrong. Now, that said, I'm going to qualify it by saying it may not go right according to your human concept of it, your human expectations. But from the divine, from the soul, from the I am, you can't go wrong. That would lead one to believe that it's time to let go of some of the human expectations. Yes. To allow something greater. Have you ever had one of those moments where something happens and you think, I couldn't have planned it any better if I had tried? Somehow it worked out so well beyond what I could have planned it. How does that happen? So often when that does happen, you give credit to some angelic influence. Assistance. No, it was you that did it. When that happens, it's because you've allowed you to go beyond just you into who you truly are. And then amazing things happen. Miracles happen. I don't like to focus so much on... I'm going to get set for today. Uh-oh. You don't have to run, my dear. But you do have to take this device, whatever happened to a plain sheet of paper. Yes.
Oh,
just prepared.
Whoa.
Please. Hello. Sandra, you're subbing out your job. Did she have to pay you to bring the coffee up here? No. Thank you, my dear Denise. Thank you. Oh, a little chocolate. Could we come back, just go up here for 5 minutes while I eat here? Let me, and you can pass this around.
Is that the
pass
king?
It around.
It's the king's chocolate. I think it's the king's chocolate. What are you doing? Ooh, it's a spider.
Good. As I was saying so seriously, have you noticed lately, before I get into serious, have you noticed lately that things are kind of going awry all around you, out of balance, out of whack, more so than ever? Your electronics not working so well. Hearing strange popping noises all around your house, not knowing what that is. What's that popping? Of course, you attribute it to something like the foundation settling. But it's actually you're emitting such a strong consciousness that it is affecting energy around you and causing these strange occurrences. It's going to seem like you can't even control yourself, your charisma. And this is the charisma series, not the Kasama. The charisma. The charisma is your light. It's shining so brightly right now, in spite of all the confusion and everything else. But it is shining so brightly, it is affecting energies around you and people around you, you may have noticed. Now, you would think with charisma, they would be attracted to your light. Not so much. But you know how it is that when the light shines so brightly, sometimes even you want to cover your eyes, wear sunglasses, or find a little bit darker spot somewhere. It's like that when you're around them. You're actually a bit like me when you're around humans. A bit like me when I'm around you. Annoying. Because the light is so bright, so strong, they don't know how to take it. And when you are shining your light, your charisma, it exposes things within them that they've been trying to hide. And there's just something, even with the magnetic impulses that are occurring as a result of your light, those magnetic impulses are annoying to humans and cars and computers for the most part and other devices. It's annoying in a way to the air around you. Annoying because mass consciousness is in a type of beautiful but dull hypnosis. Just enough energy. Just enough of everything. And for the most part, humans are rather content with that. Amazing. But you're not. That's why you're here. But most humans are content with that. Just getting through the day. And suddenly along comes this exuberant bright light. I'm not just talking about your physical energy, but I'm talking about your presence. It's annoying to them. Because it's really telling them that there's something more, something they're missing out on, something that they're being so lethargic and dull. And you come along, you're not dull. No, it's the last thing. You're not dull. Lethargic once in a while in the body and in the mind, of course, because so many things are changing so quickly. But you come along with your charisma, it's annoying. So get used to it for a while anyway. I know you've heard stories of past masters who they walk into a crowd and suddenly the whole crowd feels blissful. That never happened. It really didn't. I couldn't even imagine. Unless they were deliberately trying to hypnotize the group, that doesn't happen. When a master is present, it brings controversy and conflict. It exposes both the light and the dark to the real light. It exposes what has been hidden. It exposes true passion. It exposes something we're going to talk about later today, the true compelling nature of you, of your soul. So let's take a deep breath with that. Today, on the schedule, I have two questions. So we will be taking the microphone into this beautiful audience. Yes. Annoying, uh-huh. Isn't it? No? You get the microphone first. Two questions. Then I'm going to talk about two important trends that are affecting the planet right now. And if you're aware of these, you'll be better able to cope with what's happening all around you. And then I want to talk about one overwhelming trend that's happening within you personally. And then we'll do a marab if there's time. So, yes, we'll save the dessert for the last. But before I start with the questions, I do want to make my speech here with a little coffee. See how a master can be so annoying. So, my dear friends, and I mean this so sincerely, I've worked with many individuals and groups over the past hundreds, thousands of years, and I've never had, Calder is going to accuse me of getting soft here, but just for the moment, I've never had so much fun and so much fulfillment as working with all of you.
Oh, my God. Where's Adamus?
Oh, but that doesn't mean we're done with our program together. It just means we're taking a pause. I've worked with brilliant humans who have been on the spiritual path forever, those who actually helped to create the very first Kabbalah. Now, that, for all of you who don't know, is supposedly the Jewish mystical book, but it came along a long, long time before the Jews ever had it. The Kabbalah means the truth, or basically the core, the center. Yes, another C or K word to add to the list. But the Kabbalah means truth and the pursuit of the truth, finally the realization of the truth. The Kabbalah has been around for eons and eons. It actually came up from Egypt and some of the original Egyptian books, and later was adopted by other cultures. So I've worked with those who actually had been involved in some of the original writings of the Kabbalah. They were a challenge to work with, actually. Not nearly so much fun as Shambra, as you. It has been my true joy to be with you, to walk beside you, to walk every step of the way with you. Difficult, I know. And there are days, particularly nights, when you feel overwhelmed. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. But I can truly tell you that this group who calls themselves Shambra is truly amazing. What you have gone through, the challenges, the speed at which you are going through everything is very, very impressive. I joke about going to the Ascended Masters Club and telling my stories of my people, of Shambra. And it's very true. It is very, very true. A few months ago, I said that we're going to take a look in February 2016. We're going to take a look to see where we are. Have enough Shambra realized enough of their enlightenment for all of us to go forth? Otherwise, it's a waste of your time and mine. But so far, I feel that we're on a very, very, very good path together. Difficult, challenging. As I said so many times, enlightenment is brutal to the human, not to the soul. Not to the I am, not to the truth, but it is absolutely brutal to this aspect called the human. Whether we are here in the shouds or whether we are in Kihak going forward, we're going to go far beyond just this human focus, into the and, into the many, There is not going to be any going into the one at all. So if that's your expectation, you're going to be greatly disappointed. We're not bringing everything back into a one. That plane sucks. Those are technical spiritual terms. Yes, they're in the Kabbalah if you read closely enough. We're going to be going into the many, and that's where it gets fun, and that's what I'm particularly excited about. As we do this, I want you to understand where you've come from and where you are now. So much of this energy of Shambra goes back to the time of Yeshua. And I know many of you feel a closeness, an affinity, a deep love for Yeshua, for Mary, Mary Magdalene, for all of those who were there at the time. You relate to it in a beautiful but sometimes angry way. I'll explain that in a moment. But that's where you started coming together. That's where the essence of Shambra, of course, Atlantis, but that was a long, 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 long time ago. So much of it came together in the time of Yeshua, where you made a commitment to bring in the divine seed, the Christ consciousness, Christos consciousness. Many, many, many lifetimes ago, all of you were part of that. Even you, dear Linda Visa, you weren't in a physical body, but you were here. You came as close as you could from the other realms to be here, to accompany those who were coming to Earth. You could say you were in your angelic form, most of you in your human form. Whether you personally knew Yeshua or any of the other cast of characters doesn't make a difference. You were somewhere here on the planet at the time. You had made a commitment that you were going to bring in the divine seed, the Christ consciousness, the pure consciousness. And then you'd come back, and at some point, you would reap what you had sowed. You would take, you would harvest what you had planted for yourself and perhaps for others. So that time has such a meaning to you, has such a depth for all of you. Couple thousand years ago, coming here in human form, some of you in angelic form, and saying, now, now. A lot of you met each other back then. You meet each other again at our gatherings or in your internet space. And there's that sudden remembrance, that sudden recollection. You met the likes of Tobias, who was such an influence on you, also in angelic form at that time of Yeshua. But that's when you could say so much of this really started taking hold. Then most of you went through an interesting, a long, interesting period of lifetimes in the churches, in the religions, in the spiritual movement. Some of you went to the convents. Some of you went to the monastery. Some of you off to different parts of the world, into the temples. And there, you studied, you prayed, you meditated, you focused. A lot of discipline. In a way, it was good for you. You learned how to focus on something, how to discipline yourself, your human self. But sometimes it was very, very undisciplined, very scattered in many ways. You learn to bring back parts of yourself that had gotten very, very lost. You needed to do it in these quiet type of convents or monasteries or temples. You did that for many, many lifetimes. And there's a certain beauty about that when you remember those times. So quiet, so simple, so dull. In a way, very dull. In a way, very, very good for you at that time. It was a time of taking an inner journey within yourself. But it was surrounded by a lot of discipline, a lot of routine, a lot of regimen, a lot of groupthink. It wasn't a lot of room for individual thinking, a lot of group thinking. And at a certain point, you left disillusioned. Maybe it was 300 years ago, 500 years ago, doesn't matter, but disillusioned by the fact that the real mysteries and the real secrets remained mysteries and secrets. No matter how hard you looked, who you went to for talk or for counsel, nobody really knew the answer. The real mystery was that thing that surrounded the mysteries. Nobody knew. You knew there were answers. You knew that your spiritual path, your place as a divine seeder was real. When you saw others who simply memorized the books and the lines and the rules and went no further, no deeper within themselves, so disillusioned, you left or you were kicked out. That was a very, very difficult period for you. Maybe some of you 3-4 lifetimes ago, maybe even just 1 or 2. Very difficult time because it was like leaving everything that had been important. Leaving the very path that you had helped to create in the first place. Leaving the security of these groups and organizations. Leaving friends. Leaving those who you considered to be your teachers. So you left. Walked alone for a number of lifetimes. Kind of wandering out in the desert, in a manner of speaking, but all by yourself. At times, in these lifetimes and even this lifetime, at times trying to get back into spiritual, into the mystical, and at other times trying to run from it. At times trying to find a group that you could relate to once again, feeling that deep need for that friendship, that human association. At other times, not wanting anything to do with groups. Feeling lost, feeling abandoned. Then hearing from the likes of Tobias that even your spirit guides were gone. Now you are really alone. You found this closeness with this group, but a group without rules. A group that has no practices that you have to maintain, a group that has no requirements. Because if this group did, if this organization called the Crimson Circle had anything that you were required to do, you'd run. You'd walk away. It's a natural attraction of like-minded, kindred spirit that brings you here, but that doesn't hold you here, that doesn't tie you here. Some of you have left for a while, gone other places, but realize that this is a home. This is a safe space that you can come to and go from any time you choose. It's always here for you. And when I say that I'm going to be with you every step of the way, you've come to realize I am. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to fix the problems in your life because I don't see problems in your life other than you. And we're working on that. I really don't see problems in your life as you do. I see situations that are uncomfortable for the human persona, but that's the very thing you're trying to expand beyond. Not get rid of. Not go from being human to just divine. Not going into a oneness, but going from just a human focus, human consciousness, into many, many, many of thyself. Without a singular core, without one of those parts of self having to manage any of the other parts of self, it's difficult for the human mind to even comprehend that. But as you go beyond singularity into the many of the self, you realize that there's not even the soul that's trying to keep everything together. There's no need to. That, my friends, is freedom. And that's where you're going. These last few lifetimes, wandering off by yourself, difficult indeed. There's been times that part of you feels, just to be in a group again, a temple, monastery, something like that, but you can't go back. No. First of all, you wouldn't last very long there. They would ask you to leave for a variety of reasons. Secondly, you'd remember how really dull and boring it is. Almost a denial of your humanness. It's not about denying it. It's about enjoying it and embracing it and also going beyond it. So what a pleasure it's been for me. I had my, you could say, reservations about the time Tobias was leaving. But I want to work with a group. Not just a group, but a global group. That didn't seem to have any real connection. Not just any group, but a group of... Yeah, you know. You had a reputation in the other realms, truly. You had a reputation in the Ascended Masters Club. Even though back then there wasn't a name deeply associated with you, it was like, oh yeah, them. The Invisibles. You had a reputation for pushing the envelope, for being pestilent, for being what you call yourselves pioneers. You had a group for being one of the most difficult to teach of any. So when I came here, I said, I have nothing to teach you. Nothing. I'll stand here. I'll be with you step by step. I'll try to assure you, try to show you that you're worthy of being loved, but I have nothing to teach you. Distract you, yes. Love you, yes, but teach. You're already doing that for yourself. You don't need another teacher. So with that, Chambra, questions for the day. The first one, a bit challenging. We can move this for the time being. First question, Linda, are you ready with the microphone?
Oh, yeah.
First question is, you could have ascended, become enlightened last lifetime, 2-3 lifetimes ago. I would say within the last 300 to 400 years, you could have. Nothing holding you back. You didn't have to come into this lifetime and go through everything you've done. You could have basically brought on your enlightenment when you were about 8 years old. Why? Why? And I need really good answers today. Because two things. This is going to go into a book. And also, it's going to be used with at the Ascended Masters Club. There are some at the Ascended Masters Club who still like being teachers, so it'll be good material for them. But there are some who are just curious. You could have instantly manifested your enlightenment, your ascension, 2-3 lifetimes ago, even in this lifetime. Why didn't you? Tough question. Please begin. Absolutely. Yes.
Thank
Why?
Is the microphone on? Yes.
Yes.
Before I answer that,
yes,
I would just want to say how much I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
I really, really do. It's made a huge difference in my life.
But don't make me cry here.
Well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with crying. And the book, Act of Consciousness, has been really good.
I really
appreciate it.
Yeah. I take no credit, even though my name is splattered all over the front, but it's your book.
Well,
that's why it's so good.
It is really good, and it's good to have all of this stuff together in one binding.
Yes.
You say, there's nothing new. We already know it.
Absolutely.
But it's nice to be able to have it in one binding where we can read it and go into the experience and think about it.
Now, start taking the book. Spring a couple bucks here. Take the book and just leave it in unlikely places. Dressing room at a department store. The changing fitting room.
Oh.
Yeah. A seat on a bus.
That's a good idea.
I thought so. I said a table at a cafe. And a table at the cafe, if the waiter comes running after you, you forgot your book. Everywhere but France, they would do that. Oh, you forgot your book. And, no. It's for you.
That's right.
Yeah. Never push it on anybody. Never just walk up to somebody and give them the book. Leave it somewhere, knowing that the right person is going to find it.
Yes. Very good.
Good. Any more compliments?
I could probably come up with a lot, but I am ready to answer your question.
Good. Yes. Sorry, dear Linda.
The reason I am still here is I am just darn ready for some good things in my life.
Well, couldn't you be enlightened and have the good things in your life?
I'm ready to be enlightened.
Okay.
Completely.
I realize that, but why did you? Two lifetimes ago, you were traveling somewhere off in near Tibet, and you could have just like that. The energies were so right at the time. You were ready. Why didn't you? Why did you wait?
What I'm aware of at this point.
Yes.
Is I am ready and I am choosing complete, full enlightenment while I'm in the body.
When?
While I'm in it.
When?
Right now is fine
okay.
with me.
Good.
So I can create, you were talking at the last shout about the K-pair.
Yes.
The complete creation of what I want.
Yes.
Not what just falls on me, but what I consciously choose to have in my life. And I'm just
ready. You notice how you're not answering my question? Everybody else did. I didn't know if it was just me or. It's a tough question. Why did you wait? 10 words or less.
I guess I didn't realize that I could be embodied.
Oh. Good, excellent answer. Excellent answer. I guess I didn't realize I could be embodied. Or, hey, I wanted to wait to do it, to be embodied, because you would have died back then.
Yeah.
Boom, right there.
I want to be embodied and enjoy it while I'm here.
Mount Ridge,
all
by yourself, eaten by the tigers and the lions.
I've gone through that. Yeah. I've had enough of that stuff.
Good, thank you. So you get good reason, waiting for embodiment.
Excellent. Complete enlightenment, embodiment, so I can enjoy it.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You look bedazzling today. I would like a long, flowing, bedazzled robe.
Are you saying that people should dress up in roles and allow that?
Aren't we?
Ooh, good point.
Okay, onward, please.
Okay.
Why did you wait? This is a good, stimulating question, but I really want to know why you waited. Yes?
Maybe in this lifetime there was potential for new energy that wasn't present before, like 2-3 lifetimes before.
Okay.
So that's why we chose a
special time. So you're going to wait? I tell you what, in about 150 years there's going to be super improved new energy. Are you going to wait for that?
No.
Okay. Why did you wait for the enlightenment?
That's the only reason I can think, because everywhere they say that right now we have new energy that was never present before.
Yes.
So I thought that 2-3 lifetimes before there was no place for that.
Well, let's say there's no new energy. Let's just say it's the same old energy. Mm-hmm. Would you still wait?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Haven't seen you in a long time.
Let's see.
In person. Yes. Why did you wait?
Really not wanting to answer this question.
Yes.
In this lifetime?
Yes. Any lifetime. You could have ascended a couple lifetimes ago. Why did you wait?
Who says that I have waited in previous lifetimes? I mean, I sometimes think that I have been enlightened before and came back this lifetime to kind of do it again in a different way and get a new experience.
Well, it's a matter of degrees, I guess. You've had some wonderful experience, but I'm talking about true, full, embodied realization and enlightenment. And I'm going to go back to your statement. That's even weirder.
Thanks.
Why would you, let's say you become totally enlightened back then, why would you come back again? Be careful with how you answer that. Why would you come back again?
to experience it in a different way.
Experience it getting enlightened in a different way?
Yeah. Maybe through a different path, just to understand it a little bit better. Maybe understand isn't the best word. Experience.
You know, come here. I haven't done this in a while.
No!
And I haven't done this in a while, but we, okay. When are you going to stop thinking so much?
Tomorrow.
No, today. Linda's always worried when I slap a big guy, and I'm not going to slap a little person, a woman, but a big guy, oh, hug now, have guy hug, oh. I love you, but you think too much, okay?
I know, I think too much.
I know, yeah, and then you make me think, and then I get all confused and forget what we're talking about. What are we talking about?
I'm a master of distraction.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Where were we?
On enlightenment.
On enlightenment. Oh, yeah. It's overrated. good. Why, I would like you not to think about it.
But I would, too.
Feel it for a little while. Why you waited? No, don't answer, because okay. You're thinking right away. But just feel it for a while. You're going to lose your tent out there. Not you. Okay, next. Why did you wait?
Her faith.
Yeah. Yes.
What it feels like to me is that there's something so amazing about this moment.
Yes.
And
beautiful.
It has to do with the potential of all of us doing this together.
Yeah.
There's something so profound and so exciting about that, that to be here now and to do it is way more something than it would have been before.
Yeah. Good. Good answer.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's a right or wrong, but just asking, just wondering what that's all about. Doesn't it fascinate you once in a while? Where you could have just become realized, enlightened, or whatever, a couple of lifetimes ago. I think you think that you're still working on it, that, you know, you have to go through all these iterations and learning and everything else, and you don't. To me, it's just amazing. It's fascinating that one would wait, but there's got to be a reason. Once that understanding is realized, uncovered, you're going to get this big aha. Because there's part of you right now that's thinking that you're still not quite ready. There's part of you that's thinking that there's more to learn, more to do. You have to align things just right for it to happen. Fact is, it could have easily happened too. 3 lifetimes ago, even in this lifetime. Once there's that understanding within each and every one of you, we'll have a significant impact on your realization right now. As we go around with the microphone, which we'll do a little bit more of in just a moment, you realize it's very surface answers, very macho answers. We're not getting to it because you don't necessarily want to get to it. Because once you hear that, whether it comes from somebody else or from within yourself, once you know that you could have had the enlightenment a long time ago, how's the face? Fine, okay. Once you could have had that a long time ago, you didn't. Once you have that aha moment, what could have been, then it's really going to put you on the spot right now. It's going to put you on the spot saying, what are you waiting for? Let's do a few more. Dear Linda, microphone, please. How's the temperature in here?
Cold.
Can we go classic here?
Sure. Cold. Let's turn it up a bit. Not you, not cold. Classic. Yes. Yeah, and they won't even turn the microphone on for you anymore. That is so sad. So sad. No, don't turn it on. It's being controlled from the back there. Go ahead. Why'd you wait, Edith?
Well, I like the answer the beautiful lady back here gave.
Yes.
I thought it would be I want to come and join my beautiful Shamra family
yeah.
so we could all do it together. And I want to come and hear the handsome Adamus. And,
okay. Well, let's stop right there. Yeah. What else, Edith? We're not getting to the core here. We're dancing around one of the most important questions you can ask yourself. Come on, really? You're going to wait for all them? We're going to do a great big kumbaya party?
Sure.
And you're going to hear me knock that down in just a moment. Why, Edith?
Must have had a good reason. I must have
make something up.
Oh, okay. I think that I wasn't quite clear enough and enlightened enough and joyful enough and happy enough. And
I get it. Okay.
Oh!
You see what's happening here? And I even already gave you the clue. I'm sorry, Edith, it's not about you. It's about everybody. It's about all of you. Why did you wait? When you can go beyond these surface answers and get to it.
Please
you're gonna
tell
have,
us.
No, I'm not going to, because the reason why is you're procrastinating for a reason. And I want you to find the reason. Because if I tell you, it's going to scare the crap out of you. If I explain to you why you've waited, first of all, it would be so in your face because you're still waiting. When you're ready and not having to play the game of waiting anymore, you'll realize why you've been waiting, and then in that moment, you'll be ready. It's something for each and every one of you, if you are ready, like you say you are. If you're really ready, why did you wait?
I think that we had to realize. I think I had to realize that I exist, that I am that I am.
Give me that. I don't care, Edith, if it's you or anyone else. The answer isn't going to be there until you're really ready for it. Now, you say, oh, I am, I am. I'm ready for enlightenment. Not bad enough. Actually, not really. Not really. There's a reason why you're waiting. And you're even hiding it from yourself. And you're going to masquerade, and you're going to cover it over. So, so we could all be together, Shamber, and get on Facebook. And Edith, the queen of FB. and we're all going to do this together, or any. Why? You don't have to answer right now. And you said, well, no, I'm supposed to tell you. It would be so overwhelming. You have to realize it when you're ready. But I want you to walk out of here today or go do whatever you're doing. If you're listening online, I want you to feel into that question. I want you to feel into, not try to answer it up here. It's not going to come from up here. It's not going to be, because I had to come back at the right time when the meridians and the grids were aligning and the fairies and the divas and the elves were all going to be here to support. Oh, shut up. Obviously, you're not ready to hear your own answer. You could have. And one could argue that, or you could say that about anybody. Not really. They, most people aren't prepared for it like you are. Most haven't gone through the time of Yeshua. Most haven't gone into the monasteries and the temples for deep inner study. Most don't have the knowingness of the Kabbalah within them like you do. Remember, it's not just a Jewish sacred book. The Kabbalah is truth, and it goes back long before that. Most aren't, so my question doesn't apply to most people. Not at all. Not even most not even most New Agers. It's interesting because you, Shambra, have gone, you as a group, have gone beyond New Age, way beyond. It doesn't even apply anymore. You've gone beyond spirituality. You really have. This is no longer a spiritual group, because spirituality is defined by too many concepts and structures and history and machio. This isn't even a cult anymore. You've gone beyond that. You've taken this to a different level. You've taken yourself to a different level. That's why you don't find that comfort level with a lot of spiritual New Age groups, because we're not that. It's definitely not a religion. But we come to this interesting point, this rattling, tense, frictional point in your realization. And you're wondering why things are so tough lately. Because you're changing. But I got to ask that question. You could have done it. I was beside you. You could have done it a while back. Why not? What were you waiting for? That's an answer you have to discover for yourself. And it's not because so we can all do it together. That's a side benefit. Why did you wait? When you are ready to encounter that part of yourself that knows, then you're ready for enlightenment. When you can't answer it clearly and succinctly, when you're making a lot of machio excuses, when you're thinking too much about it, then there's something in you that doesn't quite want it yet. Doesn't quite want it. That's not a bad thing. You can wait 5 years, 20 years, 10 lifetimes. It doesn't matter. But there's some dynamic, and please don't judge it as being bad. There's just something you're still getting from playing the human role, something that's going to, you feel, disappear, go away in enlightenment. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear of death. Maybe it's that simple. I don't think so. Maybe it's something else. Yes, microphone to the handsome gentleman.
Thank you.
Yes.
What I'm feeling is that I wasn't willing to be responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't. That's it. That's as simply as I can say it.
Yes.
I wasn't willing to be responsible.
And could I take it one step further?
Yes.
And remember, this is for Peter. Doesn't have to apply to everyone. This is for Peter. Not only willing not to take that responsibility, and let's look at it from a positive standpoint, you're having fun.
Right.
You're having fun. Now, there is another thing interject, and everybody gets addicted. We're, as a matter of fact, doing our addictions gathering here in August, right here. Everyone gets addicted because addictions are fun, damn fun. It gives you a reason to wake up in the morning to get back into the addiction, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, doesn't matter.
I mean, there's a piece of that that I can feel is like I am used to, comfortable with, and actually enjoy being at effect.
Yes.
And yeah. And I don't want to give that game up.
Absolutely not.
You know,
how about though we just make the game a little easier?
Okay.
You like that?
Well, not all the time.
No,
not all the time. You know, impossible is fun because then when you do it, wow.
Yeah. We make the game a little easier. Well, a little bit more money to play the game.
Okay.
We're at the craps table. You got a little more money to play now. And we'll make the game a little bit more rewarding back.
Okay.
And we'll put you at whatever seat you want at the game table. We'll just make the game a little better. How's that?
I'm with you.
It's not going to happen. And that's what you're all feeling like right now, and that's part of my job. You're not going to make the game better. You're not. And so much, and not just you, but so much of the spiritual, religious, those movements are just trying to make the game a little better. That's not my job, and it's not your real desire. It's not your passion to make the game a little better. That's where people get stuck in enlightenment, just trying to make the human life a little better, make the addictions a little stronger, make them more pleasurable, make the addictions, no matter what it's to, make those addictions just a little bit more fun. We're not here for that. We're not here for that at all. We're going to move beyond it. So one more, dear Linda. Two more. David has his hand raised. David hardly ever gets to talk. Yes.
I feel that I have trusted other people more than myself.
Good. So let's change that around a little bit. You don't trust yourself. That has nothing to do with other people. Yeah. That could be, for her, a very, very good reason. I don't trust myself. There is a huge factor in enlightenment. I'm going to get into it in just a moment. But there's a huge factor about letting go. And it's ingrained in each and every one of you when you really let go. And I mean let go, let go. That the dragons, the demons, and Satan and everybody else are going to be there waiting for you to devour you. It's a fear that's been instilled in every one of you. And there is that. What if I let go and this was all a joke? I'm going to give you my simple answer beyond that. Life is whatever you basically imagine it, choose it to be, with the kepare. The kepare, there's this air, physical air, the ethereal air. It creates a fabric, like a material, like a beautiful glistening material. And you throw your kepare on that fabric, and it creates your life. Most people don't know that, and they don't do it consciously. They just kind of splatter on that fabric. But there's this beautiful fabric, and with a kepare, you can create anything you want. It doesn't... Where you're going, where all of us are going, is beyond, into whatever you want. There's this fear that there's going to be some darkness. You just laugh at the darkness. Yeah, it's going to be there. Well, it's going to be yours. You just laugh at it. And then we become whatever we choose to become. And continuing to evolve it, to expand it, to make more of that painting on this air and ether fabric. It's that simple. In other words, none of it matters. It's only what you choose. So, but a part of it's trusting yourself. It goes back to an old thing I'm really tired of now. Oh, I did bad things in a past lifetime and I killed people. I was in war. Yeah, we all did. That's part of the human journey. Get over it. Just get over it. It's not going to happen again to any of you. None of you, just double check, none of you are going to be murderers or, you know, you're not going to be a terrorist or anything like that. So it's not going to happen. Get over it. Okay, one more quick one. We do need to move on.
You already called on David.
David. Yes, David. Why did you wait, David?
I think I did, and all of us here, Chambra.
Yes.
Out of our love of humanity.
Yeah.
We knew that this was going to be an intense transitional time.
Yeah.
And that we could be of service.
Yes.
At the same time, there's also that nagging doubt within us that, you know, we frigged up,
right,
and should have taken the easy road, and we doubt now.
Yeah.
If
like the early bird gets the worm, or well, you know, something like that, it's like should have done it back then. Yeah.
So
I'd like to I'd like to address that, David. Thank you. It's a very good thing being here to serve humanity. It's written in the Kabbalah. Yes. Linda, microphone again. Keep you running.
And if I said serve, that was just due to my nerves being up in front of all of you. But what I meant to say was our love, our deep passion and love for humanity and for Gaia.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a valid reason. Oh, it's a valid excuse. But let me give you a little history on that. About going back about 500-600 years ago, it was the commonly accepted in spiritual circles, mystery schools, everywhere, that your ascension, your enlightenment was dependent on everybody else. It was in vogue at the time. I'm not going to go till we're all ready. It sounded great. And it was very, very popular. And it's the way most of the spiritual organizations were run. And it was that way, actually, up until yesterday. No, but I'm saying there's a history to that. There's a philosophical, spiritual belief in that. And most all believe that way. The few who did not were basically thrown out. We're all doing this for all of humanity. Well, an interesting thing happened. I came along. Truly, I was the first one to speak out against this on very, very practical terms. I remember the long debates that we'd engage in hundreds of years ago. I was actually a little unpopular for a very, very short period of time, believe it or not. And Chambra, yeah. Somebody's already on their email or Facebook or whatever. I was like, how can he be so arrogant? You know what? It's an act. And maybe you stop out of acting like such a deadhead. Oh. And I'm not talking to all of them. There's just one person out there. Oh, he's so arrogant. Why don't you stop acting like a bore, okay? You know who you are. It's all an act, you see? And if you act a little pompous, you, it's better than acting like, oh, I'm a victim. Try it. Act a little, yeah, life has been good to me, so I'm a little better. I don't care. It's just an act. And then, you know, what happens? You act that way. It's like, okay, so I got more money than you, okay? And that's fine by me, not by you. And you start acting that way, and you know what? The energy gets delivered to you that way. That's kind of a weird thing. It's called, like, where's my book? I need a prop. Act of consciousness. Yeah, somebody have, there you go. Yeah. It's the act of consciousness. It's all here. It's actually 150 pages. Interesting to note, about 10 of which are blank. Why do they do that? And it's not all an act. You act like you're ready for ascension or enlightenment. Guess what? It's there. It's all an act. It's, some would argue that acting is not real. Oh, crap, look at you. That is an act, and it's not real, and it's really tiring now. And I'm not talking to all of you online. There's just that one. One. Adonis. I'm going to write something bad on Facebook. It's all an act. And you can act any way you want. You can act. You can act eccentric, and you already do. You can act any way you want. You can act like you are so together. And even if that human part of you goes, "Oh, you're faking it," I don't care. So are you, stupid human part? You're faking it. I'm going to act like I'm really together. That I'm abundant. I'm going to act like my health is good. That I've got this youthful, vibrant body. It's all an act. And the moment you start believing that, well, you're faking it, the moment you start buying into your act as only a human of limitations, you've got a long, long, long way to go. So act, whatever, and act many, all at the same time. It's all at the same time. It's not singular. You can be many actors on your stage at one time, whatever you feel like. Where were we in our moment of distraction here? David, the history Kansas that it was in vogue 300 or 400 going back as far as 300 or 400 years ago, to that we're all going to do this for humanity. I forgot who started it, but I would smack them down if I had been there and known, because everybody bought into it. It's a nice story. Do you realize how long it's going to take for everybody on the planet to become enlightened? First of all, there's new ones moving in all the time at a very rapid race. 1,000 lifetimes they might have to go through. Okay, let's cut it down to 700. Are you going to wait for them? And then their babies. And then their babies. Oh. So I proposed at a gathering of some of the embodied masters at the time. I proposed, I said, how about it's a sovereign journey? How about we stop focusing on this mass, everybody's got to go first, I'll be the last one through the door, captain's the last one on the ship. Crap, the captain should get off the ship and go find a boat to come and save everybody. I don't understand that mentality. So I proposed back then, I said, what if we get off that program of, no one, the last one left behind. No one left behind. Leave them all behind. It's a better program, because I proposed. I said, what if one or two or five come through into enlightenment? There was a silence that's all over the room, kind of like what's happening here. Yeah, well, then what, Adamus? I said, let's say there's five, and they stay embodied, and they walk the earth without running around saying, I'm enlightened, but just walk the earth, and they become a standard. Because you know how many people believe that they will have a spiritual realization in this life? Not many. They have no hope. They have old stories of old masters. They have no hope. So they don't believe they can do it. They're waiting to go on the other side for answers and salvation. And most of them believe in either in heaven and hell or something in between. So they wait. They don't believe that they can do it. But if I put five here on stage or out walking in the park, at the shopping mall, at an airport, five that don't have to say a word from their mouth, but their charisma shines. That will make the difference. And then there was a in the room with the other masters. They weren't quite ready to buy it because they were invested or addicted to their old way of thinking. But I said, just what if? What if we didn't have to do channeling anymore? What if it was the human that stood here that was the realized master? Wouldn't it be far better than waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for all humanity? Wouldn't it be better for them to have actual examples? Still is not a terribly popular idea. Still, most groups will do the kumbaya thing. We have to all go. We have to all be one. No. I can tell you this, for you, still watching, still writing. I'll tell all of you a little secret. And it's one of my favorite topics, not. Oneness. If you're looking for oneness, this isn't the place. There is no going back to oneness, like going back to God and we'll just all sink back into God. No, actually, there's really no God, but that's another topic. There is, but not the human God. I'm so sick of that human God. It's a God rant, okay? Just let me rant once in a while. But there's no going back to that oneness. There's no universal oneness. We are all one. Yeah, we all have similarities. But you're not. You're sovereign. You're sovereign. A sovereign being has a much better perspective and compassion to all others. Much better compassion to everyone else for their journey, for their way, for their uniqueness, for their diversity. Versus one who's trying to go back to one. The person who's trying to go back to one is going to try to make sure everybody else does it their way. That's hell. I mean, that is hell, literally. Because they're imagining going back to some cloud of oneness, but they want it to be their way, you know, in their likeness. So you can imagine the conflict it causes when they're trying to bring everybody else into oneness their way. It doesn't work. You're sovereign. You're not going back even into your own oneness, because you're going to discover, and particularly we're going to focus on this in Kihak, that you are not one. You are many. Absolutely. You're not going to sink back into some fluffy cotton candy soul that does everything for you. It's not there. Just like God is not there, the soul is not there, because those are human concepts. Those are human constructs needing a savior. We're not going there. We're going to go into the many of you. The many, 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 many of you. And that's such a freedom, such a blessing. Okay, I digress, but I do it intentionally.
To warm up for your June presentation?
I'm only 10% of the way through our discussion here today.
So, like a warm up for June?
Well, I'll explain to you in a moment. Next question. Review of Tobias? Maybe. Okay, next question. What is the last thing a human does before they come into realization of their enlightenment?
Poop.
Okay, maybe I am starting to understand. Well, that may be true. Oh, crap. As Sartre would say, what's the last thing a human does before they come into the realization of their enlightenment? I word that very carefully. What is the last thing a human does before they come into the realization of their enlightenment? Okay, we'll do this quickly because we have much to cover here. Yes. Last thing.
Well, I want to do a swear word.
Oh, that's okay. I'm banned from it, but you can. What would the swear word have been? I'm just curious.
Oh, shit.
Oh. It's not swearing. Common language.
Well, it
shit is probably used more in the English language than any other singular word other than things like the and a and of. But, yeah, Yeah, the shit of shit. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how people talk these days.
It just seems like there's something, at least from what I'm hearing, is there's a realization that it's more about and being more than one thing. And maybe there would be, for me, sadness about one.
David.
One part.
David, take my picture. Take my picture.
Oh, shit.
What?
I think the swear word was
just
the
make
best
it real. Make it real simple. What's the last thing a person does before the realization of their enlightenment?
I just take a step and do it.
Okay, that's a good answer. Okay, thank you. Do you notice the difference between you kind of got into that mental quagmire versus just take a step and do it? Because it's leading up to my answer. Next. We'll only do a couple here. What's the last thing a person does before realization of their enlightenment? Yes, Vince.
Why did I wait so long?
Yeah, but that's a thought. But what's the last thing you do?
You just give it all up.
Good. Good. That's the answer to my question. That's what I would have answered. You stop trying. Last thing somebody does now. Maybe some of you thought there's some great big mystical thing you do. Yeah, you stop trying. You just let it go. I call it allowing. Stop trying. Stop efforting. Stop pushing. Stop trying to figure it out. It's going to happen. So why screw with it? Why interfere with it? It's going to happen. All of you should be breathing a sigh of relief right now. Oh, God. No, truly. It's, you look, if you do a study of the Ascended Masters, and you look at the, kind of their path, there's a lot of common things that they did. They all studied a lot. They all disciplined a lot. They all agonized a lot. It felt really bad for all, guilty, guilty, guilty. That's kind of a weird part of the process. Just, oh, I did all this bad stuff. Please, please forgive me. Well, but then they stop trying. They give up. And I bring this back a little bit to the story of Yeshua and you coming here to plant that seed of divinity. Then you studying, sequestering yourself in these sacred organizations, and then getting sick and tired of it and just walking away, disillusioned. It's almost like that now. You're almost sick and tired of your own past, of what you've been doing, of your spirituality. Oh, even the word doesn't even sound so good anymore. It's like, spirituality is just another excuse for not being human in life, in yourself. So you get sick of it, and suddenly, whether it's done consciously or unconsciously, you just stop trying. I'm so tired of that. That didn't get me anywhere. All these years, you know, whether it was Crimson Circle or any other group, all these years, look at me. I'm a mess. I'm worn out. I'm broke. I have nothing. People don't like me. I smell bad. And I give up. I give up. I'm just going to fade into life. That's actually really good when you get to that point. First of all, you're not going to fade into life. You're not just going to go back to being common at all. But what's good about that is you've finally given up. You finally stop trying to be spiritual. Stop trying for ascension. The enlightenment is here. I asked you before, why did you wait, assuming you could have just done it a couple of lifetimes ago or earlier in this lifetime? It's already here. All the preparation's been done. All the processing's been done. All the prep, all the getting yourself ready. It's here. So stop trying. But in that question, in that answer to the question, when you say stop trying, that would indicate then if you stop trying that it's going to be here. Because it already could have been. And that brings it back to my first question. What are you waiting for? Don't think about it, though. Because you'll drive yourself crazy thinking about it. You'll start going through all these mental gyrations. You're not going to be able to figure it out. But you can let yourself feel it and realize it and get that aha. It's not a bad reason. No, it's not a negative reason or anything. It's a very deep reason. It's a very pure, real reason. When you hear yourself chatter, 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 put it away. Because the answer is just a few simple words. You realize it, and when you do, you realize that you're ready. And that's going to be scary. You realize that it's time for some responsibility, if you want to call it that. It's not really responsibility so much as it is, it's just time. And when you get that very simple, profound, pure answer to your within yourself, why have you waited? What are you waiting for? You know then you're ready. Then you have to answer that one more question from yourself. Are you ready right now? I can already tell you the answer. Once you realize why you've waited, once you get that, you can't wait anymore. You can't delay it anymore. Let's take a deep breath with that. Oh, I love you guys. I love that we don't have to be all holy and sacred here. I love that you let yourself feel some of the deepest, deepest feelings. Next, I promise we're going to talk about two trends. These are world trends. And we're going to go through them very, very quickly. The first you know about, and it's not from Tobias, it's from me. One of the biggest trends in the world right now is power. Everybody's into power, whether they realize it or not. Accumulation of power. It can be done through money, politics, government, sex, industry, commerce, religion. It's all about power. There is a massive drive on this planet for power. Not only that, but the desire for power on this planet is actually causing beings from other realms, not little men in spaceships, but other beings to take a particular interest in this planet because there is this obsession with power going on. You see it everywhere, but it's more than ever. It's showing up. Read between the lines, or listen between the lines in the news about the events. Stop for a moment and say, well, how is this about power? You're going to realize that almost everything that is occurring out there is about the game of power. I think you have a popular TV show series called Game of Thrones, kind of the same thing, but game of power. It's the shifting and moving of power. Power is an illusion. There is no power in the clear realms. There's no need for power. I'm not talking about energy power, the thing that, you know, gasoline to put in your car to make it go. That's fuel. I'm talking about psychological power, mental power, and it's going to continue to grow and grow and grow. Humans are addicted to power more than anything else. It's actually almost impossible, I'd say it is impossible, to get addicted to a physical substance. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs. Physically impossible to get addicted. There are those who will argue with me about that, but you can get addicted to power in a variety of different and sometimes insidious ways. You can get addicted to power and then use that addiction in things like drugs and alcohol, or use drugs and alcohol to try to kill that pain of power. Oddly enough, it's pleasurable and it's painful. But you're going to see it more and more and more in this planet. Please realize for yourself as you go forward that there's no need for power. There's not. There are those who I've talked to in our nightly sessions, and they will argue, they will compromise, they will say, okay, I'll reduce my power need, but I still have to have some as a protection against other humans because they're playing power, therefore I need some. No. It's either all or nothing, kind of. All or nothing. Power is an illusion. Power is making a statement that you believe there are things that you need to get from outside of yourself. And you don't. Not one single thing. All the energy or the attractant for energy is already there. Particularly once you start using it. Keper, your creative, your spirit, already there. But if you're still addicted to power, and that's going to be the focus of my portion of the talk in August, if you're still addicted to power, you will still try to be gaining more power and securing that power. In other words, you've got to bring some power in and hold it in your power bank. Once you realize that power is an illusion, you don't need it in your life. You become invisible to those who play with power. They are not interested in you whatsoever. They are not going to try to come in and take anything from you because there's no food in the pantry. There's nothing there. They're not interested. You're not a player. They're going to ask you to get away from the table because you're not a player. You don't have anything in your pockets. That's when you're free. Truly free. Power is the greatest and perhaps I could say the only true addictive force on this planet. It's an illusion. Once you go beyond the need for power in your personality, in your life, you'll be free. You realize you don't need any power. Energy is always going to be there. It's a natural thing. When you're in consciousness, there's energy. When you're passionate, there's energy. You don't need power. It's very, very false. Keep that in mind. And now on the other side of the equation, the other major trend that's happening on the planet right now is, believe it or not, diversification. Diversity. Weird. Because you'd think if power was over here, there wouldn't be. But there is a movement for diversity. And some would call it acceptance, but it's a little bit of both. It's diversity. Look at the planet right now. Like never before, there is a movement to accept diverse thought, diverse lifestyle. Look at what's happening in many of the countries of this world. Allowing same-sex marriage. Ooh, what a big step for this planet. First of all, they should realize this isn't the first time on the planet it's happened. It happened. First of all, in Lemuria, for the most part, most of you had both physical, masculine and feminine organs and body parts. Kind of gives. I won't even go there. So not, you weren't just like marrying somebody of the same sex. You were, you know, you were both and you were together in the same body. I mean, what would God think about that? Crap. Look what I did. You're all masculine and feminine together. I mean, and the real balance is bringing them both back. But anyway, back to the diversification. Well, back to same-sex marriage. It was commonplace in Atlantis. Actually, marriage wasn't so commonplace, but it was commonplace to love everyone, or love who you chose to love without somebody interfering. It's, oh, yeah, but they have to be the opposite sex. So you're going to see more and more diversification. The acceptance of what you call transgenders. You know, it's interesting to see what's happening with that. It's gone from being the weird and kinky to the, oh, wow, there's something to that. Not that you all need to get operations, but you're masculine and feminine. It's hard living in a body that you try to be one in, just male, just female. You're both. Time to let it out, open it up, and then let the two kind of fuse together or to coexist together. And, yeah, there are some who come into this lifetime because their parents didn't practice dreamwalker birth. Blame it on the parents. And the parents really wanted a boy. And they got a girl. How tough is that on that incoming? But the incoming, wanting the first body you could get, no problem. I can deal with that family. I can deal with, you know, having the masculine body. I'll work it out once I get there. And then it's really hard to work out the family thing and the body thing. But, you know, there may be a compelling desire, even halfway through life, to say, yeah, I did the first 40 years in the male body. Maybe now I'll be a female. What's wrong with that? So anyway, on this planet right now, a trend for diversity, not just sexual, but just about everything. Acceptance of other cultures and other thoughts, whole other ways of living, and it's going to become more and more. So remember, over here, power, over here, diversity, diversification. It's going to be becoming one of the biggest issues on the planet. These two are not necessarily compatible. They don't work so well, but you got them. You've got both of these huge factors, so what to expect. By the way, back for a moment. Nearly every part of human culture right now is diversifying. And it's part of my non-oneness program. Everything becoming its own and sovereign. Everything except religion. It's not diversifying so well. In other words, religions are having a hard time accepting other religions. You're either a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or whatever. And if you're not, well, God doesn't love you. That's because the power in religion is so strong that it overwhelms its diversification. That's going to backfire on religions. Backfire meaning that in these coming decade or so, more and more and more and more people are going to be leaving the churches. They're going to call them old, but people are going to sense that they're really power-based. And then you're going to have a lot of people on the planet that are kind of lost because they don't have that church that they once had to rely on to give them all the answers. And actually give them no answers, but pretend to be giving them answers. So this creates a whole chaos. This creates a lot of confusion. Power, diversification, and power held in the churches and people wanting to diversify, these do not go well. One's going to be clashes on a continual basis. And power is going to think that it's won. It's going to try to win really hard. But there is such a movement on this planet right now for diversity. There are people like you that are accepting of others because you know what you've gone through. But you're also diversifying yourself. You're not going into your oneness. You're going into your many. So the two big trends, we'll come back to that later, but right now it's time to take a deep breath. My friend, the one who was writing all this, fell asleep. Wonder how that happened. Time to take a good deep breath, and it's time for a little mirab. Yeah, you earned it. You can go to sleep yourselves if you want.
2 hours.
So let's turn down the lights a little bit, and in just a moment, bring up some sweet music. But before we do, I just want to once again thank you, acknowledge each and every one of you, acknowledge you for who you are, not what you're doing together as a group, what you're doing as yourself. I know it's difficult, and I know how many times you could try to turn and run the other way. It doesn't work, but how many times you could try to bury your head in the sand. It doesn't work so well either. How many times you could have just gone into total macchio. But here you are. Here you are. I do want you to carefully feel into this question. Why you could have been embodied a couple of lifetimes ago, or even this lifetime. Why did you wait? There is a beautiful gift in that. Don't think about it. Just feel it. Feel into it. It will provide you with the answer you've been looking for a long time. But right now, let's switch gears into the mirab. My second question. What's the last thing a human does before the realization of their enlightenment? Kind of a little bit of a play on words, because I said, what's the last thing a human does? Like there's something that has to be done. But not really. Let's just stop trying. Stop trying. That may seem a little counterintuitive, like, oh no, but don't I need to be doing something? No. Don't I need to be studying Adamus? No. Don't I need to be doing 15 minutes of deep breathing daily? No. Not really. Don't I need to really just absolutely watch my diet? Yeah. Don't I need to think spiritual thoughts? Nope. Then what the hell am I supposed to do? Nothing. Nothing. Do whatever you want. Go for a bike ride. You know, you might want to do some of the things around the house that you haven't been doing. Change the light bulb that's been burned out for 6 months now. I know this makes you feel like you're just so human, but, you know, you might want to do that. fix that broken handle on the door. You know, I know it's not real spiritual, but since you don't have anything else to do, you might as well do that. Do anything you want. Because this is a time right now, kind of a real time of evolution, transformation, whatever you want to call it, where you're being asked to just stop all that human stuff. Because there's something compelling that goes beyond the human stuff. Something so compelling that goes far, far beyond what the human can try to manage, what the human thinks it has to manage. Compelling meaning so passionate, so real. So loving and so large. Let's not call it the soul. We're going to start moving beyond that word. It's all just you. It's not in a far off distant place. It doesn't have little fairy feather wings. It's just you. This something that's so compelling. It's just so compelling, so passionate. It just has to be. It can't not be. And this is your realization. Your enlightenment. What's going to happen? When a master gets to this point, last thing they do is stop trying. Because they realize it was all ludicrous. It was all just the workings of a limited mind or personality. And they surrender to themselves. To the I Am. They stop spewing Machio to themselves and to others. They stop wondering when and where and how. They stop trying to make enlightenment human. It's not the human that's responsible for this anyway. As long as the human thinks that it's the one doing it, the rest of the I Am just sits back and patiently waits. When the human stops trying, stops efforting, stops structuring, then the compelling enlightenment, it comes. Well, the real way of saying that, then, because of the compelling nature, the natural nature of enlightenment, you realize it's always been there. I don't mean this as a game. It's not a play on words. When you just take a deep breath and stop trying, stop making enlightenment into a wrestling match. You feel that compelling, very compelling nature of your own realization. Then it happens. I like the word compelling. It means it has such a dynamic to it. Such a passion to it. It's not an if or maybe or when or why. It's compelling. passionate. So compelling that you can't go wrong. It can't go wrong. Take this moment just to stop trying, just even in the brief couple of minutes here, to stop trying. Stop trying to figure it out. Let this moment feel the compelling nature of your enlightenment. Passionate. Present. This enlightenment doesn't compromise. It's not going to compromise or negotiate with the human. Not at all. No need to. It doesn't play the games of power. Or the games of the mind. So compelling that it knows what's going to happen. Take a deep breath with that. I know you, the human, you're tired. Often confused, wondering what next. Just take a deep breath. This enlightenment, it's beyond you. I mean, beyond your limitations. Realization, nothing that has to be structured or planned. It just needs to be received. Very compelling. Meaning, it already knows that it's realized. It already knows that it's fulfilled. It's not a goal. It's not a goal for the I am. So compelling that it's already there. Wants to share that with the human. It's already realized, fulfilled. Compelling meaning. It's already happened. Wants to share that with you. But you gotta stop trying. You gotta stop thinking that you're gonna make it happen. That you have to make it happen. This isn't a maze. In some huge puzzle that you're being asked to figure out, that would be cruel. Just that, it's time to stop trying, please. Now, when that sounds so simple, the human thinks that, well, I have to be doing something. Okay. Change that light bulb, fix the broken handle, sweep your garage, go for a walk, buy a dog, love a dog. It doesn't really matter, but just stop trying to be enlightened. The human is never going to figure it out. It's not your responsibility anyway. Just for you to receive it. This thing of enlightenment is so compelling. It's already here. It had so much passion to it, so much expression to it, that it's already here. Therefore, you cannot take any wrong turns. You cannot do it wrong. You can avoid it. You can wait like you've been doing for a couple lifetimes. But the compelling nature of the I Am makes it so it's already here. It'll be a couple months before we're back together again like this in our shroud. I'll miss it. I'll be talking in other groups, but I'll miss it. I'm going to leave you with a big one between now and then. What are you waiting for? Don't give yourself the Machio answers that many of you gave today. That's window dressing. That's kind of covering it up. The answer comes, it'll come very simply, very clearly. What are you waiting for? And when it comes, then you'll really be ready. In the meantime, my dear friends, I'll be traveling the world with Calder and Linda, going to places far and beyond, not just on this planet, but in all the realms. And in my absence from the physical realm with you, please know that indeed we are together every step of the way. And in so, all is well in all of creation. Thank you for your indulgence. Thank you.
And so it is. So I invite you to take a moment longer, to just stay with your breath a little longer, and really allow yourself to be fully present. That Merab can be a very dreamy place. So really breathe deeply. Really feeling fully into your body, fully into the ground, so that it's actually safe to get up and walk around. So please take care of you. Thank you to Jeffrey channeling Adamus. Thank you for all of you listening in. And we know that it's not just this live audience, it's all of you in every part of this place, this planet. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here in July, 9 weeks from today. So until then, please take care. Take care of you. And we'll see you then. Thank you for all of you listening in, whether it's Blog Talk Radio or CrimsonCircle.com. Till then, take care. And so it is. Thank you.